Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. I gotta go wake him up. The disciples said, well, Lord, if he's asleep, he's doing well, so let don't go there then. Just stay here. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. I love how God always speaks with a double-edged sword. He speaks in line with the way he sees it, but yet he'll speak in line with the way we can see it. I'm walk off this platform. He said, Lazarus is sleeping, going to wake him up. And they're like, well, if he's sleeping, then there ain't nothing wrong. But that's the way God sees it. You say, mama's dead, not to God, just sleeping. My marriage is over, not to God, just sleeping. My financial outlook is dead, not to God, just sleeping. But to make sure we understand, he said, now in your language, he's dead. My language, asleep. Your language, he's dead. Your language, it's over. My language is just getting started. Yay! Oh! Man, that's good. He said, oh, he's dead. Verse 15, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Notice he didn't tell Jesus that. He told his fellow disciples that. That's a little whisper in the corner. Well, I guess we're going to go and die with him. The disciples throughout the gospel make it a habit of getting in that little corner and whispering and thinking Jesus don't hear them. Jesus was out praying, and they were in the house one day in an argument. And the argument was, which one's the greatest? Jesus wasn't even in the room. And they ended up talking about, I'm the greatest. I could never betray him. I'm the greatest. As a matter of fact, well, you're the greatest. Can you hear Peter? You're the greatest? When he asked who he was, what did you guys say, folks said? Jeremiah, one of the prophets. John the Baptist. Who did yours truly say he was when you had your tongue in your mouth? It was me, Peter, that said you are the Christ. Who did he say heard that? And where did he hear that? Me, moi, heard that from the Father. I'm obviously the greatest. Now, this is all going on inside the house, and they don't know Jesus is listening, but he hears everything. So Jesus walked up in the house with a child. And he said, hey, guys, I want you to see this child. This child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then the disciples were like, wait, who left the window open? Jesus hears what we say. He knows our heart. I guess we're going to go and die with him. See, so what my point is, I love the Word of God. God is the greatest storyteller that there is. When I say story, I'm not talking about that old school, you know, high school, you telling a story. No, I'm talking about a story like telling the events of a thing. This is an event. We're reading a story, and it's so powerful because we relate to it. Why? Because stories include people, and people really are the same no matter when and where they lived. We can relate to the story because we're all people. People are people. And so Thomas is in here telling the disciples, hey, y'all, I guess we're going to all go die. My point in reading that is that was their mindset. We can't go to where Lazarus is. If we go there, they're going to kill us. And Jesus is over there saying, exactly. Isn't this good? For those of you getting worried, I'm almost done. Stay calm. Fasten your seatbelt. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs or 2 miles. So he's 2 miles from the place where they're ready to kill him. That's why the disciples didn't want to go. But it's exactly why Jesus went. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So they made a 2 mile trip from Jerusalem over to Bethany. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. I don't know why. I can't read their hearts. Martha could have said, I'm going to see Jesus. And Mary says, see him for yourself. He should have been here. Well, she serving somebody some food at the repast. Come on now. Are y'all with me? Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. And Jesus said, well, your brother's going to rise again. And Martha said, I know I've got a mansion over the hilltop in that sweet place, and I'll see it by and by. You know, in other words, when we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll shout the victory, and I just mess that hymn all up, but you get my point. She's thinking way in the future somewhere. So Jesus, she said, I know at the resurrection, it's going to help somebody. I know at the resurrection he'll get up. But Jesus said back in verse 25, I am the resurrection. You don't have to wait on what is. I am the resurrection. I am here now. You ain't got to wait 1,000 years. The resurrection is already here. I am that I am. I'm personal and I'm present. I am the resurrection. How are you going to wait on what already is? He said, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he'll live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God, that should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. She ran in a crowded room. Hey, listen. Master's come, he's calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and went on out. Now, don't nobody know where she's going. Now, Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily. So there's Mary up in the house serving potato salad, and all of a sudden, she ran out the house. They said, oh, that girl's still broken. They ran after her thinking she was going to the tomb. They followed her, verse 31, saying she goes to the grave to weep. But when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, see, why run to death when you can run to life? Oh, glory to God. She fell down at his feet saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, same thing her sister said. So you know that's what they were saying back in the house. Had you been here, my brother had not died. But she didn't know that him dying was a part of a master plan that was bigger than anything she could have ever fathomed. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. What do you mean came with her? Didn't Martha go in there and whisper to Mary? Jesus is calling for you. Come on, come see him. Isn't that something? But everybody had to mind everybody else's business. And they ran with Mary. And they all out there. When Jesus, verse 33, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where did you lay him? And they said, come and see. And then Jesus wept. I wonder how many sermons have been written over the shortest verse in all the Bible. Jesus wept. Why is Jesus weeping when he already knows Lazarus is going to get up? I'm going to tell you why he's weeping. Because Isaiah 53:3 says that he is acquainted with my grief. He is acquainted with my grief. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carries our sorrows. Isaiah 53 says he is an in-touch Savior, that when you cry, he cries. When you laugh, he laughs. When you're heavy, he's heavy. He's touched with what I deal with. He's touched with what I'm going through. Hebrews 4:15 says, we don't have some high priest in heaven that cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was in every point tempted as we are. They were all weeping as they went to the tomb. Jesus wept with them. He's not weeping over Lazarus because he already knows Lazarus is about to get up. He's weeping because he's a burden bearer. He's weeping because he's a yoke destroyer. He's weeping because he'll walk with you where you're walking, and he's sensitive to the season that you're in. Folk miss that about Jesus. We think because somebody cried, because somebody died, we don't have faith. My mama passed away April 8, 2008. And I'm crying. And what are folk telling me? Oh, Pastor, you know she's in heaven. You think I don't know where she is? Let me cry. Let folk cry. It's okay to cry. I know where she at. Don't mean I don't miss her. My mother passed away, and they called me from the ICU room, my family and I, at Willis Knighton North, and they said, McManus, family, come to ICU. And I went to that ICU room, and I saw they had closed the curtain on my mama, and I knew right then my mama wasn't there. The curtain was closed. I knew my mama wasn't there. I knew she was gone. And I went to run in behind my sister behind that curtain, and my best friend in life grabbed me up. Brother Steve grabbed me up and snatched me tight, and he said, no, James, no, Pastor James, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. 5:30 that morning, God had given me a miracle. My mama woke up out of a coma, and she spoke to me, and we talked about everything from the Dallas Cowboys to Jesus, spiritual and natural. And I had a supernatural moment with my mama. Steve looked at me and he said, the last time you saw your mama, she was alive. And the next time you see your mama, she'll be alive. So therefore, I never went by the casket. I never went by to look at her. And I had folk pulling me in dark rooms and saying, do you need to talk? Do you need to talk? Why haven't you seen your mama? Don't you need to say goodbye to your mama? No, because my mama's not there. That's not where she is now. She is in heaven. Let me grieve the way I want to grieve. I'm so grateful that Jesus will weep when he don't have nothing to cry about. He is a gracious and merciful Savior, and they're all crying going to the tomb, and Jesus weeps. Could he have been seeing his own death? I don't know. Could he have been seeing, I know it wasn't Lazarus that had him crying. He's about to get him up. Whew, man, it's about to get good. Y'all stay with me. We're almost done. And they said, this man here, look at the love he had. Oh, if he'd only been here, verse 22. Oh, you better watch what's getting ready to happen. Verse 38. Oh, could not this man, verse 37, if he'd only been here. Verse 38, Jesus therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. He came to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. The stone sealed in the smell. The stone sealed in the corruption. The stone sealed in the death and how ugly death is. Because you cannot not make death look good. When you look at someone that is dead and you say, oh, don't they look good? It's a lie. You cannot make death look good. I don't care how you put makeup. I don't care what dress. I don't care what hat. I don't care what flowers you put around. Death will never look good. Death cannot look good. I've seen people pass by caskets and say, oh, mama looked like she's peaceful. Mama ain't there. She's with the Prince of Peace. You say these things to make yourself look better. I feel better. You can't make death look good. Jesus said, take away the stone. Why am I saying this? Because we have a habit of wanting to take Jesus to our garden, but not to our grave. We want to show Jesus our beauty. That's why we dress up for church. Look at me, Lord. Look what you saved. Looking good. Check out my socks, Jesus. You know that fit right there. That's lit. That's got drip. I got teenagers. Jesus said, no, I don't want to see your beauty. I want to see your ashes. I can't give you beauty for ashes when you think you already got beauty. Oh! I need to take him to my ashes. I need to take him to what stinks. I need to take him to what's dead. I need to take him to what's broken. I need to take him to what I put behind a stone. I hid it behind a closet door. I hid it under my bed. I put this away. I changed my profile name on Facebook because I didn't want anybody to see my past. Jesus said, take me to the thing you got hid. I can't give you beauty for ashes until you take me to your ashes. They say, Lord, he's stinking now. It's been 4 days. He said, didn't I tell you, verse 40, didn't I tell you, you're going to see the glory of God? And so he goes in verse 43 to the tomb. And he cried with a loud voice. Underline that statement in your Bible, verse 43. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And it wasn't because Lazarus was hard of hearing, because dead folk can't hear unless God is talking to them. And if God is talking to you, he ain't got to raise his voice. Because when Elijah, who will study, Lord willing, got down and discouraged and wanted to die, God sent an earthquake, and Elijah couldn't find God. And God broke mountains in pieces with wind, and Elijah couldn't find God. And God sent great fire, and Elijah couldn't find God. And then God whispered, and Elijah said, here I am. What does that mean? God will get you with a whisper. He didn't need to holler real loud so Lazarus would get up. He's hollering real loud so Caiaphas can hear. I need somebody in this house to not care if it takes me 10 more minutes to get this thing out. God don't need to holler loud for Lazarus. He's hollering loud because the enemy needs to be summoned, because he is a part of God's plan. This is the breaking point. Caiaphas has been riding the fence, y'all. Caiaphas, the high priest, riding the fence. Pharisees, Sadducees hated each other. Now all of a sudden they got together because they both didn't like Jesus. Caiaphas is straddling the fence. If we say he ain't of God, they're going to turn on us. If we say he is of God, they're going to run after him. We got to find something wrong with him. We got to make him do it to himself. We can't be the one to do it. This was the mindset of the enemy. He's too big to touch. We need him to self-destruct. The enemy has been trying to set me up and you up for a long time. He can't touch you. I'm trying to get this out. He can't touch you. Why? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue risen against you in judgment is condemned. Folk have already talked about you. It didn't work. You already got put out of a situation. It didn't work. You already lost a job. It didn't work. You already been broke. You smoked it. It didn't work. You sniffed it. You drank it. You injected it. You understand it? If you were going to be out, you'd already been out. That's what Jesus would do. If God wanted you out, there was already enough done. Caiaphas said, we can't do this. We can't go after him. If we say he's of God, they're going to all run and have our endorsement. If we say he's not of God, they're going to turn on us because they've seen all these miracles and heard these teachings that we can't even find fault with. Caiaphas was riding the fence. And Jesus was like, you are the high priest. A lamb can't be offered without a priest. I need Caiaphas to be the one to send me to the cross so I can be a legitimate sacrifice. This is my breaking point. But Caiaphas won't move. So no, I can't go raise Lazarus right now. Caiaphas ain't home. And he ain't dead enough. If I get him off a sick bed, they've seen that and they wouldn't move. And he can't be dead for no little while. He's got to be dead long enough to match my death. I'm going to be dead 3 days and three nights. And I'm getting up. I need to go ahead and preview what I'm going to do. So no, I ain't going right now. I need two more days. I need Lazarus in that grave 3 days and three nights. I'll show up on day four and get him up. And everybody will know that it don't matter how long you've been down or under. When I call your name, you're coming. Oh, I feel like praising him. God kept us at LSUS 5 years because 2 years would have been too soon. God kept you in that efficiency apartment all that time because any other time wouldn't have worked. You got to trust the sovereignty of God. He knows when it's time. Let me show it to you. I'm going to prove this. He hollered a loud voice, Lazarus. Lazarus! Come forth, all the Jews, all the folk, Caiaphas. Did they just holler for the man whose funeral? Did they just holler for a famous man in our city that's dead? Did I hear Jesus just holler for a dead man? Let me go see what I'm going. He wasn't hollering because he was trying to assemble the believer. He was hollering to assemble the enemy. thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. Quit being so scared of your enemy. God needs your enemy present when he does what he does so he can get the most glory. He's like, Caiaphas, I'm about to make you move. You've been toying with me. You've been sitting back trying to entrap me. You wanted me to self-destruct. I ain't gonna self-destruct. Because when you ask me a question, I ask you a harder one, and then you walk away. So this ain't gonna happen. We can toy with this for 30 years, but I ain't got time. There was an appointed time for me to die, and that time is now, and I need you to give the order. Isn't it amazing that God is in control of what the enemy's doing, and he thinks he's all big and bad? When he ain't got no power, he still works for God. Ow! Colossians tells me that had the principalities known what killing Jesus would have done, they'd have never touched him. They didn't know he was going to get up. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth. He that was dead came forth. I got to talk about Caiaphas and we're done. Verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. And they said, What do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. We ain't never seen a miracle like this. If we leave him alone, all men will believe on him. The Romans will come and take away both our people and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas. And who is he, church? Look at it. Being the high priest, that's the one Jesus wants. He said, you guys don't know nothing at all. Verse 50, I'm at a breaking point. Verse 50, breaking point. You don't consider it's expedient. It's expedient. This is our breaking point. It's got to happen. It's expedient for us that one man should die. He's got to go. He's got to die for the people. The Romans are going to take away our nation. We're going to lose everything. He's got it.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.